Nobody wants to be sold. Nobody wants to be heavy-handed, a product, a service, anything. But people listen to recommendations. People love when other people refer. So I would much prefer other people say something about me than me force feed people what I do in my business.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, my friends? I am recording this quick disclaimer, not in my studio, and it's around the holidays. The kids are playing in the background. They're out of school. And I wanted to just let you know that episodes 132, 134, 136, 138, 140, and 142 are all going to be interview episodes. Instead of recording solo episodes around the holidays, I'm going to go ahead and keep giving you 4 episodes a week for now. But I'm going to have some of the previous recorded episodes that have never aired quite yet play through for episodes 132 to 142. So anyway, I hope you're having a great holiday if you're listening to this around the holidays. And I would say spend some time with your family. But if you ever are going to do something like what I'm doing now, just let your audience know. Just let your listener know. Now let's jump into an interview episode. Thanks.
All right. This is a podcast on podcasting episode with Billy Samoa. And I don't even know how to say your last name. So give it to me now.
Salibi. Yeah, you got the Samoa part right, but Salibi.
I like the way that sounds. Samoa Salibi. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, man, let's do this.
Executive at Tesla. Didn't know that. You were one. Not anymore?
No, I left Tesla. Our Tesla left me in 2019. So that was
okay.
I had a 10-year corporate ride.
All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. It's funny because I have somebody on the show who also has a podcast about podcasting. For the love of podcast, this is none other than Billy Samoa Salibi.
Woo, thanks, man.
So stoked. I'm excited because, Billy, you have an incredible personality, incredible love for other people. I've learned personally so much from you and what you do that I've been wanting to have you on my show for a long time. And it's all through this amazing app called Clubhouse, which I guess now they let those Android owners in, which is, I think that's why everybody's leaving. I don't know. Maybe they're not leaving. Anyway, let's get into it. So I've learned a ton from you on Clubhouse. You add a ton of value to a lot of people on Clubhouse. You're always running rooms, co-running rooms, and just supporting a lot of different people. And I just want to commend you and say that I appreciate you for that. And I want to also, because it's always important to tie things in for our listener and let them know your middle name isn't just by chance. His middle name is Samoa. It means more chicken. Sa means more and Moa means chicken. And Samoa means that he's from Samoa. And that's what the Samoans do. I was actually serving a mission with all the Samoans. And literally, this is an actual thing. I would eat the chicken and I would say, that's good. And they would put 2 more pieces on my plate. And like I gained 52 pounds.
Wow.
I was wearing Ia Lava Lavas. Like,
sure.
You know what those are.
Yeah.
And just had a blast. And almost nobody knows this about me, but I have only a couple of tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for those of you who see this and for Billy, it all has a bunch of Polynesian in the tattoos. So there's Maorian, there's Samoan, there's Tongan, there's Fijian, and there's Hawaiian symbols on my arm. And to me, it really means these are the good people. And you strike me as a good person, even though your blood isn't Samoan. I can still like, you were born there, right? 6 months old. And
that's right.
So I want to just mention that Polynesians are my favorite people. I've learned as much of Samoan and other languages as I possibly can. But this guy, Billy Samoa Salibi, And I'm stoked because he's going to add a bunch of value to you, just like he has to me. Billy is the co-founder of Podify and the host of Insight Out. I didn't say that wrong. Insight Out, not Inside Out, Insight. And For the Love of Podcasts, these are the two podcasts that you're going to look for right now. So you could just scroll and look for those two. And actually, let's make it easy on you. They're now in the show notes. Boom. And prior to falling in love with podcasting, Billy was an executive at Tesla. And I love Tesla. I love like those, you don't even have to have gas. And what's funny is I saw this guy, like this car, it was a Tesla. And in the back of the Tesla was all of these cans of gas, like so many. And I said to myself, this guy literally will never run out of gas. Anyway, hold on. We need to do something. There we go. Or is that more deserving? Not sure.
No, you give yourself the first one.
And Billy Samoa Salibi is an award-winning writer, director of the feature film Rolling. They See Me Rolling. That's the theme music, right, Billy?
Oh, man. No, not quite. Not quite.
Tell us about this film.
Didn't get the right
film real quick.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, man. I'm so excited. What an intro. I am humbled and honored. And it's a joy to have a conversation with a fellow podcaster who's got a podcast about podcasts, because that's beautiful. And I love supporting this amazing community. So yeah, I left film school and I said, you know what? I probably should make a movie. In film school, I, of course, made some short films. But when you spend as much money as I did going to film school, you might as well get some value out of it. So I ended up writing and directing a feature film called, as you said, Rolling, which was a documentary style film about the drug ecstasy. So yeah, so I spent 7 years of my life from the creation and the ideation and the writing phase all the way through the filming and the editing and the festivals and then ultimately distribution in 2009. Very fortunate that the film did as well as it did. We got picked up on Netflix, Amazon, you name it. And that's a really amazing feeling to have completed something from start to finish. But like all good things, you realize that when you spend 7 years of your life doing something, you got to ask yourself, was that worth the time invested? And do I want to do it all over again? And that's what led me to my corporate path.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to let you pass this ecstasy rolling thing. Man. What the heck? Why did you start this? What made you be part of it? What was your involvement in it? Is it like more of an advocate for that drug, or what is exactly behind why you did this?
Sure. Great question. I've actually heard people who've watched it both say it glorifies the drug and also it does the exact opposite. And my goal is to do neither. It's to paint an accurate picture of the experience people have on the drug. So I was a really good kid in college. I was a good kid in high school. I didn't touch any drugs at all. The day I graduated college, I tried ecstasy for the first time. And I experimented with it after that. And so after experimenting with it and having those experiences, I decided it was something that I could tell a story about in a meaningful way where the drug itself would be a character in the film. And so the film takes place over a 24-hour period and there's 8 intersecting storylines, everyone from a drug dealer who's abusing the drug all the way to a school teacher who's never tried the drug in her life and she tries it for the first time. The characters give interviews to the camera like a documentary, but it's all fictional, it's all a narrative, and their stories intertwine at a warehouse party in Los Angeles. And so at the time, very much so, and even today, the drug itself is very well known and a lot of people have experimented with it. And so my goal was to really put a spotlight on what that experience is like for the people who use it.
Very, very interesting. And out of curiosity, not that I'm promoting or non-promoting any drug or not drug out there, but I'm very curious, like if there's part of your document, not your documentary. I almost said documentary,
but it
part
is
of your, like your film. Yeah. Yeah. You said it was kind of filmed like one, but fictitious. I can't talk. That's okay. Let's move on. So what I was wondering on that is part of what comes out of this is like kind of like an aha moment or a big change that can happen like the first time you're on that, or am I completely off base?
Well, I mean, yeah, that does happen. I mean, the thing that ecstasy, MDMA does is it lowers your inhibition. You feel more comfortable sharing. You're more empathetic. You're more compassionate. In a lot of ways, it taps into the chemicals that we already have in our brain, right? The serotonin in our brain puts us in a state where we feel more comfortable sharing, which is why MDMA is now being used in therapy and has for years. And so, yes, there is what I'll call a conflict within the storyline where there's several, but one in particular, there's a girl that's, she was going to get an abortion and it's going into the trauma of like getting pregnant and then getting the abortion and everything that went into that. And it's the love relationship that she has with somebody and her being able to talk to her significant other about it. The drug helped in that way. The other flip side to that is, as I mentioned, there's somebody that is buying drugs from somebody that is not known to them and they get a bad batch and puts themselves at risk and puts themselves in harm's way because it's not pure MDMA. And therefore there's inherent risks and even people have died. And so it runs the gamut and some of it's more fun and not as serious. So there's a lot of humor. There's some drama and there's even some pretty sad things that happen at the end.
Very insightful and interesting. And speaking of insight out, let's talk about your podcasts.
Yeah, man.
Which one came first? Why did you start it?
So I started Inside Out first. I started it because I'd spent 10 years in corporate and most of that was spent doing learning and development, helping people learn, helping people grow and get better at their jobs, mostly in the sales area. So I led sales training for Tesla. I led sales training for SolarCity. And I've always been inspired by the proposition of giving people tools to excel in life, to give them something to get better. While I was at Tesla, somebody came and spoke. His name was David Rock. And one of the things he said is that people learn when they have insights. And often insights happen in random times, like when we're taking a shower, when we're going on a walk, when our mind is quiet, when our prefrontal cortex isn't burdened with all of the work and heavy load that we give it to make decisions and be the CEO of our head, right? And so when we give ourselves the peace and quiet to make those decisions, we begin to have insights. And so my show interviews people who have done remarkable things in their lives, who share breakthrough moments, insightful moments, moments in their life that stand out that have helped to make them who they are today, because we all are a product of our experiences. And so I want to tap into that. So I meet with best-selling authors, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and really ask them, what are those life-changing, insightful moments that have made the biggest impact on their lives?
Very fun. And I'm curious, from your experience, what you've learned, I even just knowing that you wanted to launch that podcast years ago, just knowing that, you probably have a lot of, I hate using the same word, you have probably have a lot of insight on this subject. And so I'm curious about how we can be more intentional and thoughtful and focused on gaining that insight. If you could give us maybe one, two, or three tangible ways that the average podcaster can be more insightful in their life.
Yeah, happy to. Well, I think the first thing is put yourself in position to not constantly be thinking and doing. And so I mentioned a few things. We need to give ourselves opportunity to breathe, to think, and to make sure that we are allowing our brain to have those moments where we might come up with something otherwise wouldn't, because we're overworking the prefrontal cortex. So there's countless activities you could do. There's meditation, there's walking, even taking a shower. It might sound crazy, but I mean, how many of you have had a breakthrough moment in the shower? Well, it's because you're not thinking about other things. So I think giving yourself those breathers, that's one big tip. The second thing is when you have those moments, don't let them pass. You have to be aware enough to note and to document those moments and don't let them pass you by, because we have thousands of thoughts a day. And a lot of them, they happen so quickly. Maybe we don't ignore them, but because a new thought came, we forget them. It's kind of like a dream. You forget your dreams, right? If you don't write them down right away, you forget them. If you don't write down your insights right away, you forget them. So that's step two, is write your insights down. Step three is figure out, is this insight worthy of me applying into my life or is it not? And the way in which you should do that is to carve time out on a weekly basis to really start to think about what are the things that are most important for me in my life. And I call this high altitude thinking, because often we're working in our business, we're working in the nuts and bolts and whatever that may be. We're a podcaster, we're a business owner, we're both, and we're working in the business, and all of our consumed time is in operations and making the business function, and we're in triage mode. The problem with that is it doesn't give us that higher altitude perspective that we need to say, you know what, maybe I'm spending all my time spinning my wheels when in reality, I could be taking a different path. And often if you could apply those insights, you'd be taking a better path, a more straight path to where you want to go, to what's ultimately most important to you, but you got to have that vision. So that would be the last thing I would say, is that without having a destination point and a place that you're targeting, you're going to be a floundering. You can't go to a place if you don't know where it is. And so first, put yourself in position to have the insights by quieting your mind. Second, write down those insights to make sure that they're documented. Third, as you do that, make sure that you're giving yourself the high altitude, determining if those insights should be applied into your life. And then fourth, make sure that they are all targeting a particular vision and endpoint.
So you are good at sales because you're speaking right into the things that I struggle with. And I'm sure the listener as well. And I know that's one of the biggest things. You helped build sales for, you said Tesla and also SolarCity, which I've talked to them. They are relentless. They're good. They know what they're doing and they know how to, oh, you're going to get this tax benefit and this is how much it costs, but it really doesn't cost. And they're good. I'll just say. But you, one of the things that you did as you were going through that, you helped me to be able to say, man, I just don't take enough time to do XYZ. Man, I'm really just focused on my business and I'm not taking any time. And that's holding me back. And without it, I'm going to flounder. And so I definitely felt that. And your four-step process was insightful. I really appreciate you jumping into that to help us to be able to open our minds and to get to the next level. How about your second podcast? Like, why on earth would you start a second podcast? It already sucks to have your business. That's a lot. It already sucks if you have family, whether it's wife, kids, anything in between, parents, sisters, friends. It already is tough and challenging to go through making sure that you can be insightful. And it's already challenging to have your first podcast about being insightful and have to just keep up this insightful facade. And then you went and started a fourth thing. Like, you're like, oh, I'll just have another podcast. It'll be about podcasting. And that's a great idea. Why did you do that?
It is a lot. I'm not going to deny that. I think fundamentally what I realized is Inside Out is a long-term play and it serves a very broad audience. And I wanted to do something that served a more narrow audience. I also wanted an opportunity to meet with people who I admire and respect in the podcasting space. And so I thought, hey, if I could meet with Jordan Harbinger and Dave Jackson and Cliff Ravenscraft and so many other people who I admire and respect in the podcasting space, I'm going to learn. And in the process, others will learn as well. And so I didn't think that doing another podcast would be a horrible decision. And I still don't today, but I also recognized at the time that it would be a lot more work. And so I contemplated, do I do this? And do I do a season approach where I do one season, one and another? And I just decided, you know what? I can do both. There are people that do three shows a week for one podcast. So I could do one show a week for two podcasts. Now, believe it or not, I've started a third podcast, which I don't even publicize because it just came out, that I'm doing with my son, called Things You Didn't Know. And we talk about things that you didn't know. Like, we just did the first episode is Things You Didn't Know About Abraham Lincoln. We're going to do Things You Didn't Know About Disneyland. So I kind of look at it more like I believe in this space. I'm bought in. I'm 100% all in and passionate about podcasting. And so I want to give myself an opportunity to continue to be a sponge, to learn and to be surrounded by people who've been in the space a lot longer than I have and grow through their knowledge base. And then as things sort of transpired, as you know, as you alluded to, I got on Clubhouse. To me, that really is the biggest commitment, is spending hours on end on Clubhouse. So it's like finding the balance between all of those things. Clearly, it's a struggle. It's something I think about and something that I'm constantly figuring out how to optimize. And that's another reason why I started my company, is because I see a need for podcasters to focus on what they do best, which is making their show, focused on their show.
I love it. And I was going to ask you, right before you mentioned why I started my company, I was going to ask you if the podcast about podcasting, oh my gosh, I have to pull it back up in front of me, darn it. My brain does this type of stuff every now and again. For the Love. Yes, For the Love. For the Love, Adam, For the Love of Podcast with Billy Samoa Salibi. Salibi. Oh my gosh, I love
it.
That.
You got it.
So I'm wondering though, like, what came first? Because you just mentioned that you had this podcast, you started this podcast, you were passionate about this podcast, you're passionate about the space, you know it's not going to go anywhere, you enjoy it, it's fun, and you'll be able to maintain it. You even started a third podcast, which is awesome. But you said that that's why I started my podcast company.
Sure.
Did you start the podcast company first?
No,
or about podcasting first, and then be like, oh, okay, well, I'll just start like a fifth thing and just have a company. I may as well.
Yeah, I might as well start at sixth and seventh thing. Yeah, so For the Love of Podcast came before Podify. So although I was working on Podify sort of in parallel, but I launched For the Love of Podcast end of August of 2020, and then I launched Podify in December of 2020. So they're both still under a year old. I've only, about to release my 36th episode of For the Love of Podcast versus Inside Out. We're about to release 80. So, but the point I'm making is what I realized is all of the operational things of making a podcast, the editing, the repurposing the video, the web development, the writing, the publishing, all of that took way too much of my time. And if I could outsource that, I would have so much more of my time to do the thing that I love doing, which is interviewing people and preparing for those interviews and all of those things. And so that's why Podify is a great fit. And the nice side benefit of For the Love of Podcast is it's a feeder, a lead generator for Podify. Because when I have a show that services podcasters and I have a business that services podcasters, my potential clients are my listeners or even my guests as well. And so actually a combination of Clubhouse, LinkedIn, and my podcast have built Podify. All of my customers have come through there. I don't do any outbound at all. I do only inbound, either referral-based business, or they've heard me on Clubhouse, they've seen my post on LinkedIn, and I was very active on LinkedIn last year, or they've heard my podcast. One of the three things, and maybe one thing they found me on, but then they heard my podcast, which added a bit more credibility. So that's another good benefit of having that show addition.
I love it. That's so true. I had a podcast that I didn't really hardly have any listeners at the beginning. It was called Creative Real Estate Podcast. I started it. I wanted to raise money. I wanted to attract capital for doing real estate deals and everything. And what's funny is I maybe only had like 20 downloads per episode in the beginning. And for the first full year, it was like that. It took me actually probably about a year and a half until I figured out how to start marketing it. And it just like slowly had that giant bell curve and went to 100, which is 5X what I was doing. And then it went to 300, which is another 3X on top of. And then it went to 3,000. It was another 10X on top of that, like downloads per episode. But in the beginning, when I only had it going for like 8 months, I went to some conference, some real estate conference, and I was talking to this guy and he was well-to-do. He was like a perfect avatar for me at the time for wanting to attract private capital. This guy was exactly the right perfect person. And I wasn't famous. And I just mentioned to him that he goes, oh, what do you do? Blah, 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 blah. I let him know a little bit about what I do. And then I just found a way on purpose, to be honest, I found a way to just say, oh yeah, I've got this one episode of my podcast that reminds me of that. And I just mentioned that like in passing. And he goes, just like I hoped he would say, wait, you have a podcast? I go, yeah, of course I have a podcast. And of course I'm the best and all this. I'm so cool. I have 20 downloads per episode. And so what I did is I said, I can help you find it on your phone. Do you have an iPhone? And he said, yeah. So he gives me the iPhone. And what I do is I subscribe to it and don't tell him. But I went ahead and just gave myself a 5-star rating before he ever listened to it. That was probably bad, but I did it. I subscribed to it and I gave myself a 5-star rating and I gave him the phone and I told him about just one episode that he should listen to. A few months later, the guy calls me back and he says, I've listened to 30 or 40 of your, I don't remember the number now. I've listened to a lot of your podcast episodes and now I want to invest with you. And he's actually one of our biggest investors. And I didn't have any listeners. So it's kind of illustrating exactly what you were mentioning with your podcast about podcasting for the love of podcast. That's how the listener will find it. And it's also in the show notes. Both of your podcasts are already in the show notes. We can just click on them. You started this podcast. It's about podcasting. And you mentioned a few ways that it benefits you, similar to what I just mentioned. You mentioned a lot of the times you'll have guests on your podcast that might end up doing business with you. B, they might share the episode and grow your audience so that you do even more. C, you might be able to have them knowing what you do. So they just tell somebody, oh, I don't do that, but Billy Samoa does that. Yeah. And additionally, you've got all the listeners and the credibility, and you've built that a little bit bigger by adding immense amount of value on a little app called Clubhouse, where you're just giving, giving, giving. Every single time that you're there, you're never, ever, at least it doesn't feel like it. Maybe you're just really good at sales. Who knows? Maybe you're just like pouring into people. And I think that really attracts people more than you being like, hey, I could do this for you. It's just people are like, hey, can you help me with this? Sure. Or their friends are like, oh, I know Billy does that. And so that is remarkable. And I think even though the listener themselves probably don't have a podcast about podcasting, all of those points that you made in the value that you get by having a podcast, each and every one of those points can be beneficial to us in any type of business because it's all marketing and positioning and making sure that we're getting in front of the exact right avatar. And you're doing just that with your podcast. I want to ask though, go ahead.
I was going to say the one thing I'll add is nobody wants to be sold. Nobody wants to be heavy-handed, a product, a service, anything. But people listen to recommendations. People love when other people refer. So I would much prefer other people say something about me than me try to force feed people what I do in my business. And so the way it's worked is allowing people to come to me through other people. So I think to your point, the more you treat people in a way where you're pouring into them, where you're giving them everything you got, then they remember that. And then along with other people supporting you and singing your praises, that gives you the credence, the credibility to be considered to take whatever that may be, a service, a product, to go into a business relationship with someone because of what they provided for you without any need for you to feel like they are doing it for certain reasons.
I completely agree with you. Really good point. And I wanted to ask you, just like with your first podcast, you did a lot of things right, I'm sure. And it grew and you enjoy what you're doing. And on the flip side, when you started a new podcast, I'm hoping that you didn't do every single thing exactly the same way with the second podcast. So those things that where you pivoted and you did a different approach, how many episodes you recorded, who you interviewed, whatever it is, I would like you to share with our listener those things that you learned from the first podcast and are implementing with the second and now third podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, how much time do you have? I mean, no, I'll give you a few highlights. So I actually made an episode called 50 Mistakes I Made Producing My First 50 Episodes of Inside Out. So I made that on For the Love of Podcast. So a lot of mistakes, a lot of mistakes. Some of them I haven't even corrected, but I'll give you a few of the basic ones. To me, the title is super important. you have to make sure that the title will do as good a job as possible, letting the audience, your potential listener, know what the show is about. So I think it was Cliff Ravenscraft said something to this effect: make your title boring and descriptive. So the Social Media Marketing Podcast, you know what that's about. Inside Out is a little bit vague. I don't know what it's about. It's about insights, but what about insights? So it's kind of abstract. I like it now, but there's been a time where I'm like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But to your point, it's grown, but it's a long-term play. I had to see it grow over a long period of time, even not that long, but like long enough. So I wanted, the title was really important. The second thing, and this goes along with the title, is who is the listener? Defining who that is. I did not do that clearly with Inside Out. Is it a leader? Is it an entrepreneur? Is it a small business owner? Is it somebody in corporate? Who is the listener, right? And so that, to be honest, it's still fairly broad. Somebody that wants to improve their lives. That's so broad. Versus a podcast about podcasts, my listener is podcasts. Specifically though, within that, I would say beginner podcaster to intermediate podcasters, not as much for the advanced podcaster. That's who my show serves. So first thing, title. Second thing, who you serve. The third thing, and I'm still working on this, and I think this is probably with any podcaster, is how much of your time is spent, and for me, how much of my time was spent creating versus promoting. I think most people spend 80% of their time creating and 20% of their time promoting and marketing. I think that should be inversed if you care about the show getting the kind of traction you want. Now, this is not like hard and fast. There's all sorts of situations. Some shows, all they do is work on the content and it blows up. Other shows, if they don't spend time on the marketing, literally they might have 10, 15, 20, 50 downloads, 100 downloads, very small numbers. And so I believe that marketing plays a critical role in the success of a podcast, because otherwise it's just like throwing a podcast in the ocean and hoping somebody will find it. It's not going to happen. There's not a good distribution network with podcasts. And that's why it's like a book. If you write a book, great, you wrote a book, but no one's going to find it unless you do the legwork. So think of the marketing like marketing a book. You have to do the hard work to get it out there. And the last thing that I'll share that I believe that I should do differently, and anyone that it wants to make their show successful, is make sure, and this is why you and I are talking, I mean, go on as many podcasts as you can that are in your niche. This is a great example. Me being on your show, would love to have you on my show. And so it's just like, now I'm getting exposure to your audience, you get exposure to my audience, and it helps to cross-pollinate. And I think that's a big thing that I make sure I'm doing now, is being on more shows, because podcast listeners listen to other podcasts. So I just want to be on as many podcasts as I can, especially with ones that are within my industry, my niche.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you cross-pollinated another way as well. And I loved it. Just for example, and I don't know if you did it on purpose. I think you're smart enough that you probably did this on purpose, but that's okay. That's like a backhanded comment if you didn't do it on purpose. I'll just let go. But the point that I was going to make is, on your podcast, For the Love of Podcast, you did a 50 mistakes that I made with the Insight Out podcast. And what's cool is, as we listen in to the For the Love of Podcast and we hear about this Insight Out, and you spend a little bit of time going through 50 different mistakes, it kind of gets us to think about that other podcast,
right?
And it cross-pollinates, even though they're both your shows as well. You'll be able to pull in, like, your sharing and illustrating the stories of what's going on, and it's all tangible for the listener, for their podcast. But at the same time, they might be like, oh, I should check that out. And you might be able to grow that listener base just because of that one single episode. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. No.
Did you do it on purpose, or?
Yeah. Well,
you better have.
It's so funny you say that.
You can't say yes or no.
So yeah, either way. Yeah, no, I would say I don't remember what my thought process was. I don't think it has crossed my mind since then, but I don't think it was something that I thought too much about. I mostly thought, how can I serve my audience the best? And I think that was my primary focus, but there is a cross-pollination byproduct that exists And so I wish I had a good enough memory to say that I was very strategic and thought perfectly about it, but I would be lying if I said I remember exactly what my thought process was.
Okay, fair enough. We will move on if you're ready. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to just take a quick break for our sponsor, just be real brief. But when we get back, I want to share just some of the tangibles that I picked up from you today, just through what we've discussed. And I want to end the episode after I go through some tangibles. If you could just give your top best advice for a new podcaster, what they can do to be able to increase what they're doing. I'm stoked because you've already added so much value. So going to your very number one, I think that's going to be epic. But first, a word from our sponsor. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. And we're back with the Billy Samoa Salibi from the For the Love of Podcast podcast and the Insight Out podcast. You can find both of those links down in the show notes. And I've already taken so many tangible things to my business that I think can help me to become a better podcaster from a lot of the things that Billy shared with his story. And it's been insightful, to say the least, to talk about rolling on E and what his movie did, him working with Tesla and the experiences that he's been able to share with us. And those four main things that he mentioned on how to gain insight will probably stay with me forever. Just like putting yourself into the right position where your brain can allow that to happen, like meditating, even showering or going on a walk or whatever it means to take a breather, that really resonated with me. And it really made me feel like I've got to spend that time if I want to improve, if I want to have more insight in my life, that I'm going to need to be intentional about not working so damn hard and just like go, go, go. And what traditional people say is really what we need to do, which is like hustle, hustle, grind. Like this four-step process is really impactful for me. The second one was don't let those moments pass you by. So like when they're happening, write them down, take note of them, just like a dream can pass, he mentioned. The third one was asking yourself, taking some time after you've written them down and just to look at them in your journal or wherever you're putting them and say, is this worth my time? Is it worth my time to carve out that time to say, should I do that thing that kind of came to me in my quiet moments? And that last one, which was that nothing happens without a vision. Nothing at all happens if we don't have a clear path of where we're going. If we're trying to go from LA, which is where Billy lives now, to up in Conifer, Colorado in the mountains, you've got to see it. You've got to at least know where that end result is before you can start to map it out. And so having that clear vision of where you're going is critically important. In fact, he said, quote, without it, you'll flounder. You'll flounder around. He mentioned a couple of things that he is doing differently. Like number one, the title is critically important. You've got to have something that's simple. And that, I think, is something that most people, they're just trying to get so creative and so out there that they're really missing the mark because they're not pulling in their avatar. So that one thing that he did differently with his new podcast and is doing again with the third podcast, huge takeaway for you and for me. The second big thing that he wanted to make sure that he did with the new podcast is define that listener specifically. The third is the time of creating content versus marketing. And I know that all of y'all are probably going to make this mistake if you don't let this resonate. He said you need to do it inversely, not creating and then marketing a little. It's creating and marketing a lot. And that's the way you're going to be able to grow. The way that he illustrated, and I loved the way this came across, is you have to do the hard work. He said, it's like you can't just drop a podcast in the ocean and expect people to find it. And this is one thing that I always share, like on my podcast, Field of Dreams. Have you seen Field of Dreams, Billy?
Yeah.
Okay. Field of Dreams is full of shit, right? If you build it, they don't automatically come. Do what Billy told you. You have to do the hard work. You can't just drop it in the ocean and all of a sudden people find you. If you build it, they don't automatically come. You got to do a little bit of work. It's that inverse creating versus marketing. So those are my tangible takeaways that I learned from Billy today. And Billy, I want you to end on the highest of the highs, not an E, not ecstasy type of high, but like the highest of the high, like podcasting kind of high. What do we need to do to become a better podcaster?
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I'll tell you this, man, what a great recap. And I love that you do that because it really underscores anything that you found valuable that will impact others. And repeating it allows it to be more sticky, which is what you do in training as well. So the first thing I'll say is tapping into those first four things that I mentioned. I just want to ask this question to you listening right now. What if you took 30 minutes a day and you visualized where you want to be? I'll let you marinate on that and think about what that means. But imagine if you got so good at picturing and visualizing where you want to be that it becomes something that manifests itself in reality. Guess what? That is what successful people do. They see themselves where they want to be. So I want to put that as an aside. Now, to your question, if I'm thinking about a podcast, I'm thinking about like, what's that advice that's going to like really put me over the edge? Let's face it. Most people, they want to know how to grow their podcast. That's why this podcast is something that people want, right? They want to understand how to grow their audience. And so I'll give you a few suggestions that I think will be helpful. The first thing is tap in to the organic reach of vertical based video. Think TikTok, think Instagram Reels, think YouTube Shorts. Sub 1 minute vertical based video. These are in vogue right now. These are what's hot. So how do you make content that's shareable? Imagine if you make something so shareable that it goes viral and your podcast logo is on the video. That will hugely influence people gaining exposure to your show. And there's plenty of opportunity within those platforms to grow quite large. So that's the first thing. And I want to just say though, the way in which you do that is think of it like a meme. How do you make it? How do you surprise somebody? How do you tap into emotion? How do you give them something that they feel inspired to want to share it with other people? The second thing is give food to Google, the Google algorithm. And you do that with long form articles. Think of your podcast as a pillar content. And from that pillar content, you have the smaller repurposed content for the video. But then you could also create long form articles that are keyword rich and they attract people to your website. You need to own your own property, your own website. And when you do long form articles, people will find those and they'll find your podcast. Super, super important. The third thing that I recommend is how do you inspire people to share? So you could do things like a contest. You could do things like giveaways. You could do things like getting people to join certain small programs that you have, if you have a Patreon or if you have some other thing that exclusive programs that you invite people to. And when you do that, you're giving people the feeling like they're part of your family, and that will give them the desire to want to share your show. So again, just to reiterate, vertical based videos, tap into that wealth of audience and organic reach. Two, make sure you're capitalizing on long form written content. And three, get creative and come up with clever and exciting ways to inspire your audience to help spread your show through word of mouth. Word of mouth is the most powerful form of marketing, but you play a role in inspiring word of mouth. If you do those three things, I think they'll help.
I think they'll help. Oh my gosh. Drop a mic. That was badass. I'm curious though, just like randomly, don't drop your mic. I know that mic and it's like several hundred bucks. Anyway, this mic would be fine. It's only a couple hundred. I wanted to ask you, you said, how do you inspire people to share the podcast? And you had a couple of good tips like contests and giveaways and making it exclusive like Patreon and things like that to help your listener share your podcast, but I know a lot of people who struggle with getting their guest to share the podcast. Like, you're on my show right now. How do I get you to do it? And you've had like 30, 40, 50, 60 episodes and growing on your podcasts, especially this one about podcasting. What are you doing? As a last question, we could have dropped a mic already, but I know that the listener also wants to know how to do this. So how do you get the guest to get behind your message and want to share it?
Well, the first thing I'll say is don't assume that they will promote your show. I think that's the first thing, is you got to have low expectations, but you should make it easy for them to promote your show. Make it so simple and easy. And here's how you do this. I actually interviewed Harry Duran, and I actually have the show notes for his episode, which is his template, which is a fantastic template to use. And there's a few things that he does really, really well. The first thing is you got to understand it's all about them. So you want to make sure that you make content that makes them look good. So that's step one. A video, a short video where they say something super insightful, super powerful, and it's going to add value. They will want to share that. So give them access to that. Two, make it simple by using something like click to tweet. So all they have to do is press a button and it tweets whatever you want them to tweet. So that's another way you make it super, super simple. The third thing you do is when you have this template, this email basically, it should give them step-by-step instructions of what they can do and what other people have done. And so one of the things I like to say is a lot of my past guests have chosen to do X, Y, or Z. Don't feel obligated, but it'd be great if you could do that. So you're inspiring them by giving them examples, making it really easy, making it about them, and then using the tools that exist, like to tweet and others, where it's so simple for them to promote. And don't forget, when you're promoting them, to tag them so that they can like and reshare the things that you put out there, which is also really easy for them. So I think it's just doing those things proactively.
Holy cow. That's insanely good. And it helped me a lot. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have my team, like if you're listening, this has already happened, but I'm going to have my team look for your Harry Duran episode. And I'm going to have them literally in the resources of this podcast. You just scroll down, you can get there. That episode's going to be out there. But I took away three amazing tangibles that I will never forget. Obviously, the content that makes them look good, that's important. And next one is making it simple. The third one was my favorite because it's something I've never done. These are some of the things my other guests have done. And you don't need to, but it's already social proofing. It's already like, oh, okay, they've done that. I should do that too. It's like when I go on Amazon, everybody likes this product. I should like it too, etc. So like just being able to share, these are some of the things my other guests have done to promote the show. Just give them a couple of ideas. That is huge. That's the kind of like the missing piece that I've always had. And you really just solved my problem that I've always had by having other people share my content. I've done the others and I've done well. People share it sometimes, but showing them that these are some of the things my other guests have done is like the biggest takeaway I've ever taken away. Why do I keep doing that?
Love it.
Anyway, Billy, you've added an immense amount of value. I've already got the link to your podcast in general, the link to your other podcast, the link specifically in the resources to that episode that my listener needs to hear so they can go and start listening to that episode. What I would like you to do, if you don't mind, share maybe your website or however it's best for us to get a hold of you. And I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well.
Yeah, perfect, Adam. And such an honor to speak with you and learn from you and have this conversation. And I'm glad that there were some nuggets that you found valuable and that you think the listener will find valuable as well. So a couple places you could find me. Certainly look for me on Clubhouse. Most of my things are at Billy Samoa. That's just like it sounds, just like the country, Samoa. And then my website for Podify is podify.com. And so you can find out all about our services there. And aside from that, I always welcome people to find me on LinkedIn or find me on Instagram and DM me, and love to start conversations there. See if there's any ways we can collaborate or any ways I could support you and what you're doing. whether it be in business or in podcast space. Happy to help, happy to support, and look forward to meeting you if you have any interest in connecting. So Adam, thanks so much for this opportunity and fun conversation, man. It was great.
Awesome. Your Clubhouse, your LinkedIn, and your IG are now in the show notes, and Podify.com is in the show notes as well, so that they can go and check out what types of services that you can support them with as well. Mr. Billy, thank you for coming on the show. I'm grateful. We went overtime, and I appreciate you just pouring into the listener, giving tangible takeaways at every turn. We've got a lot of show notes today and a lot of feedback, and my team's like going to scramble to use this in our business so that we can grow our podcast as well. I'm going to let you go. Guess I should say, because you're someone, is it Talofa? No, that, how do you say goodbye?
Well, I mean, I think it's the same, right? It's Talofa Lava Lasa Sunga. I don't know. But okay. You know better than me, man. Like I said,
Talofa. It's been
Talofa. We'll say Talofa.
It's been a lot of years. I appreciate you so much. Fa'afatai Tele Lava, for all of your massive, massive value that you added to me and to our listener today. I'm going to let you go. So if you're listening and you want to grow your show, try Podify.com, try growyourshow.com, see what we can do for you. And we're out. Bye for now.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.